Welcome to Journal Club for November 12th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. There are only two hard things in computer science: cache invalidation and naming things. That quote is generally attributed to Phil Carlton, but also to many other people, so who knows? Regardless of who said it, it's true. But why is it true? I'm particularly talking about the first half. Why is cache invalidation so hard? Why is setting up a sensible caching policy for your API or your CDN or your database layer so maddeningly difficult? To put it simply, because caching makes things better, but also worse. Holding those two ideas in your head simultaneously can cause a fair amount of cognitive dissonance. And implementing a coherent policy that reconciles those two ideas can feel impossible. Caching is, in a word, complex. And in today's paper, it gets significantly more complex. Some would say it becomes ridiculously complex, but I'll leave that for you to decide. This paper takes the traditional concept of a cache hit or a cache miss and adds a third option, a similarity hit. A similarity hit means that the system found cached content that is in some way close to what the user is requesting, but not exactly it. Instead, it's something similar enough that it might still satisfy the user and it can be retrieved from the cache rather than the original source. Similarity caching might sound simple at first, but consider this. A cache hit or cache miss is binary. You either hit or you miss. A similarity hit, however, is not binary at all. It's an object. It has a strength, a closeness, a confidence score, and a probability of satisfying the user. Adding similarity caching to the mix doesn't just complicate the process, it fundamentally transforms caching into something far more dynamic and nuanced. It takes a traditionally black and white concept and introduces a sea of gray. The paper we're discussing today doesn't invent similarity caching. It's actually a concept that's been around for a while. What these researchers attempt to do, however, is set up an analytical framework and a standardized set of metrics to evaluate similarity caching. Their aim is to examine the impact of this caching model on both user experience and system performance. They want to determine when, why, and how similarity caching might be beneficial or detrimental within a cache network, particularly one composed of multiple nodes. A cache network in this context is an interconnected group of nodes that can cache data across different points, reducing the load on origin servers and speeding up content delivery to users. Imagine a cache network as a web of strategic supply depots. Each node can hold various items, but these nodes can't hold everything, which introduces choices about what to store and what to discard based on anticipated user requests. Now, let's dig into how the authors modeled this concept. The authors developed a mathematical model that maps out how a cache network behaves under various caching scenarios, focusing specifically on how it handles similarity hits. A similarity hit here is defined by a similarity metric, which quantifies the closeness between the content the user wants and what the cache node actually has. This model considers nodes, which serve as cache locations that can store or relay content, and origin nodes, where the original content resides. The cache network is structured as an undirected graph, where each node connects to other nodes along defined paths, with each path having specific propagation delay. In this context, propagation delay is the time it takes for a piece of data to travel from one node to another along the network route. The model mimics real-world cache networks by calculating how requests traverse through nodes, encounter delays, and result in either a cache hit, miss, or a similarity hit. A crucial aspect of this model is the concept of similar content delivery delay, a metric that measures the time from when a user issues a request until they receive either the exact content or something close enough to meet their expectations. This isn't a simple average latency. It's a user-centered measure that takes into account the variable nature of similarity caching. Traditional latency metrics focus on raw delivery time, but similar content delivery delay factors in whether the user's delay tolerance allows for a substitute. That is, if something in the cache meets the user's similarity threshold, the minimum level of similarity the user would find acceptable in a substitute. At this point, you might be straining to picture how any of this would actually be useful in a real application. So let's draw an example. Imagine you run an e-commerce website selling rare vintage records. Users visit your site, searching for specific albums, artists, or even unique cover art variations. Initially, your caching system operates on a simple hit or miss basis. It either has the exact album a user wants in the cache, or it doesn't. In such a system, if a user searches for a rare version of the Beatles' White Album, and the exact match isn't cached, their request has to travel all the way back to the origin server, which could be costly in time and bandwidth. With similarity caching, however, you could configure the cache to deliver similar albums if they meet a threshold of similarity. For example, if the specific version of the White Album isn't in the cache, but a similar release is available, say a different pressing with nearly identical tracks or cover art, the system could send that version back as long as it's acceptable to the user's needs. If your cache knows users are generally satisfied with any White Album variant, the request delay reduces drastically, improving their experience. The threshold level becomes essential here. Setting a low similarity threshold would mean only very close matches are served as substitutes, which could lead to longer delays for exact versions. But if your threshold is more relaxed, users might receive albums from related genres, artists, or even albums with cover art by the same designer. This capability of offering a close enough match in place of a costly cache miss opens up flexibility. You not only save resources by reducing repeated requests to the origin server, but you can also tailor the user experience to individual tastes. In cases where users are likely to accept similar albums, similarity caching can keep the browsing experience quick and efficient, ultimately optimizing both system performance and user satisfaction. To evaluate this model's practicality, the authors conducted simulations using both synthetic data, which is artificially generated to follow a controlled distribution, and real-world data, which introduces the variability and complexity of actual user requests and content types. The synthetic dataset was generated by calculating the Euclidean distance between content pairs to determine how similar they are to each other. The model uses this distance to simulate similarity scores between different cached items. In the real-world dataset, images were processed to extract visual features, then compared to generate similarity scores, giving the model a way to measure how effective similarity caching could be in a multimedia retrieval context. The findings were telling. In scenarios where users were positioned far from the origin node, similarity caching drastically reduced latency because users could be served acceptable, if not identical, content from nearby cache nodes. To understand why, consider a cache as a warehouse. When the specific item you want isn't in stock locally, a close alternative available nearby is better than waiting for the exact item to ship from a distant warehouse. This similarity caching also becomes more efficient with lower thresholds of acceptable similarity. For example, if users set their similarity tolerance low, cache nodes are more likely to find a substitute they can serve quickly, reducing the need to forward requests through the network. When the authors increased the acceptable similarity threshold, however, users had to wait longer for content that better matched their request, showing the obvious trade-off between speed and the exactness of the content. The authors noted two key takeaways. One, similarity caching is most effective when the similarity threshold is adjusted to match user expectations. If users have a high tolerance for variation in the content they receive, the cache network can operate more flexibly, returning similar content from closer nodes. And two, a user's physical position relative to the cache nodes can either enhance or limit the effectiveness of similarity caching. Users closer to an origin node often prefer exact hits, because they can receive the exact content directly, whereas users further away may benefit from a broader range of cache similarities to avoid long wait times. The model introduced here fundamentally reimagines caching by blending probability and similarity to create an adaptable response mechanism. It does keep the ideas of hit and miss, but adds good enough, which just never existed in this context before. In doing so, it moves caching beyond the binary world of hits and misses and opens up new possibilities for managing network resources efficiently. This flexibility could help transform caching infrastructure, especially in scenarios where approximate content suffices. By capturing the nuances of similarity caching, the paper encourages us to reconsider the rigid structure of cache policies, showing that sometimes close enough really can be good enough in a world where every millisecond of latency counts. Are these benefits worth the massive amount of additional complexity? Or is this over-engineering? Is this solutionism? It probably depends on the specific use case, as well as the stage of the application and your company. Your mileage will vary. I'll leave it for you to decide if this concept is worth considering for the systems you manage, or if it's best left as theoretical research for now. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.